Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians verse 1 here tells us what we were. I titled the message, What We Were and What We Are. Where we've been and where we are at. You know, Paul lays this out under the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, so beautifully. After telling us in chapter 1 the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and after praying that God would give us understanding of His will, that our eyes would be enlightened, that we would know what the hope of our calling is, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, after doing so, He comes to this verse 1 in chapter 2, and of course, the Bible was not written in chapter and verse, if we know that. But He tells us what we were. And you, that's you, all of you who believe, you, and you. This is to us. This is to me. This is to you. It's personal. Now you notice, hath He quickened is in italics. That's not in the original Greek. Actually, that doesn't come in until verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. It reads like this, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Paul was pointing out here our spiritual condition before salvation. Oftentimes we need to be reminded of this. This is our condition by nature. We were void of spiritual life. We did not have spiritual life, which is the life of God. We had this natural life, this life of this flesh, natural life. But we did not have the life of God. We did not have life, light, understanding. We didn't have it. We were dead. You know, I don't know why I say that, because I know why. I say this every week, don't I? I know why people don't understand it, because they're dead. But that's easy to understand. If I tell you somebody died this morning, the so-and-so died, he's dead, would anybody have a hard time understanding that this morning? You would know exactly what I'm talking about. But when it comes to spiritual things, and we say that we are spiritually dead, it's like, well, how dead am I? How dead are people? Well, I don't know. How many degrees of dead is there? None. Dead is dead. And this is what he's pointing out to us. You were dead, but you were dead in trespasses and sins. This was your life. He's telling us our life. That this is the life we lived. Trespasses. That's going beyond the mark. If you drive down the road and there's a sign that says no trespassing, and you stop the car and you walk across the line, guess what? You've broke the law. You are trespassing. And that's what trespassing is. You and I have broken God's law. We went across the line. We're dead in these things. The law says do or don't do, and you and I just walk across that line constantly, don't we? We're trespassers. Dead in it. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Sins is what we do because of what we are. And this is the way we are born. We are spiritually stillborn. We are born dead. Dead to God. Spiritually. Every person that's born into this world comes into this world in this condition. We don't become lost or dead at a certain point or a certain age. We are born this way. It says in the Psalm, they go forth from the womb speaking lies. Or we could say crying lies until they learn how to speak. We're dead. Separated from God, that's what it means. Separated from God, that's what this is talking about. Now, there's an interruption here, verse 2 and 3, from verse 1. Because verse 1 here is still connected with what has been said previously. But he says here, staying on this thought, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. This verse 2 and 3... And verse 3 says this, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. These two verses tell us the way that we lived while in this condition. This is how we lived. And this is what we were under, the power of darkness. The spirit of evil. We were under that power. We were directed by it. Those who believe not are under the power of Satan. I don't care if you're born into a believer, a home where parents believe. Or we're all born this way. All of us. We're under the. If we're not under the power and direction of the Holy Spirit, we are under the power of darkness. We're under the power of this spirit, this evil spirit that just identifies this age and every age as far as that goes. And this is the way we walked. A walk is a tenor of life. It's a tenor of life. Where in time past, you see, is you notice back in verse 1, who were dead. You're not dead anymore. He's speaking to a people that's not dead. They've been given life, and he's going to point that out as we go through this chapter. You're not dead anymore. You've been made alive in Jesus Christ, but you were dead. You were spiritually dead. You didn't know God. You had nothing to do with God. You had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. You were dead. And you walked according to the course of this world. Your life was dictated by the principles of this world. That's how you walked. You walked. You see this especially in school, high school, peer pressure. You want to dress like everybody else dresses, that peer pressure. You want to walk like they walk, and they want to walk like you walk. And you want to walk like each other. It's the course of this world. The course of this world is disobedience. Disobedience to parents. Disobedience to authority. That's the course of this world. It's the course of disobedience. Well, where do you get that? Well, first of all, that's the nature you're born with. And then you're under the power of Satan, who is disobedient. And so you walk this way. This was the... According to the course, this is how the world is. According to the prince of the power of the air, you walked according to his influence, his power. Even over God's elect, he had power over them while they walked in darkness. God allowed him power. And you walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Several of the translations are, you walked according to the demon spirit of the air. That's how you walk. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. You're under the power and influence of a demon spirit. Satan being the head of it. That same demon spirit, that's what he's talking about there, that spirit, that little S, that same demon spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That to me is scary. But it's powerful. It's powerful. This is, they're under, you know, I believe this, that every generation is, you know, there's a spirit that just identifies every generation. An evil spirit, a dark spirit, identifies every generation. You can just pretty much go back and look at it. Among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle. Our lifestyle is according to the course of this world, according to the spirit of the power of the air. Our lifestyle is according to that. We all had our conversation in times past. You're not that way no more, but in times past it was. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We spent our time trying to fulfill the desires of this flesh. And he's not talking about skin here. He's talking about the nature. Somebody may lust for power. And you spent your time trying to get it. Climbing your way to the top. Stepping on whoever you had to step on. You know, we can lust after many things. We lust after money, material things, power. It doesn't matter what it is. But whatever, he says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And you were by nature children of wrath, even as others. You had the same nature as everyone else. When you strip away everything, you strip away everything, take all the veneer off that we put, you know, we always put something out there in front of us. Nobody ever really sees us, only God. We want people to see what we want them to see. I know a man who has a very successful business. Very successful. And multi-million dollar business. I went to school with him. He started this business from scratch. And he started it not knowing this particular part he was in. Business he started, he didn't know anything about it. He didn't know the first thing about it. He was an excellent salesman, though. Excellent salesman. He didn't know anything about it. He made this statement. He said, I just have to make them perceive that I do. And he was good at it. And he hired some men that did know how to do it. But he just, when he went out to sell, he made this perception. Someone said, perception is 90% of it. Make them perceive it. It's what they do. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. We were just like them. Even though we might try to make it not look that way, but when you take everything away, we're all depraved. You believe that? You really believe that you're completely depraved, that the human race is completely depraved? That's probably one of the most unpopular statements you could ever make if you're on television. Because the world doesn't want to believe that. They want to believe there's some good. We're mostly good, and there's some evil. No, we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now he comes back to his thought. But God. Don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. But God, who is rich in mercy. Barnard said, that means he's got plenty. He's rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. He loved us before we loved him. He loved us with an everlasting love. And that love must be expressed. It has to be expressed. You can't love someone. I mean love someone. And not express it. And not do something for them. You know, if you love someone, they're in need, you're going to do what you can to meet that need. You're going to. And God loved us, and this love was found in Himself. And He must express this love. And it wasn't because of something that He saw in me, because I was a child of wrath by nature like everybody else. I wasn't any better than anybody else. You pick anybody on this earth, and I am no better than them by nature. None. But God, who's rich in mercy, this is where it starts. It starts with God. The difference between us now and the children of disobedience is God. God being merciful to us, giving us what we don't deserve. He's the one who made the difference. I didn't create the change. God did. He did. And He did it because He's rich in mercy. And He did it because of His great love that He has to us even before the world began. It's an everlasting love. How great must that love be that would cause Him to give His Son to die for me and you? How great must that? That's love beyond comprehension. That's love beyond understanding. That He would come into this world and die in my place. What love. What love. And listen, even when we were dead in sins, before we were even capable of loving Him, while we were at our worst, while we were enemies in our minds by wicked works, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. While we were still dead in sins, He put us in Christ and He made us alive in Christ. Whatever Christ is, we have. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The life. Even when we dead in trespasses and sins, He didn't wait until we loved Him. He didn't wait till we loved Him. Because that would never happen. It wouldn't happen. God so loved us that He acted on it. He acted on it. And He acted on it even when we were dead in sins. And He has quickened us. He's made us alive together with Christ. And all of this by grace. All of this is by the grace and mercy of God. The sovereign grace of God. By grace, He says, you are saved. And by grace, you are being saved. And none of it had anything to do with us as far as what we do or don't do. It had nothing to do with that. Had nothing to do with that. If it did, we would never be saved. And He has raised us up together. You see, this whole work of salvation is of God. He has raised us up together. And He made us sit together. Jew and Gentile. People out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation under heaven is seated together with Jesus Christ at the throne of grace. Right now. Right now. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where He is, we are. I don't think we've ever really tried to get a hold of that. This is where assurance is when you get a hold of what you are and have in Jesus Christ. Not what you feel. It's not what you feel. It's what you have. According to the Word of God, it's what you have in Christ. God the Father has raised us up from the dead. We have spiritual life in Jesus Christ. First of all, this is positional. And then in time, it's reality. Positionally, we have been raised up in Christ. When he died, we died. You believe that? You believe that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, you died. Were the same. When he rose from the grave, you arose from the grave. He started out in this chapter, and you, I'm speaking to you. You who believe, he's speaking to you. And this is positional. He raised us up in him. We died in him, raised us up in him. We are seated in him. And then in time, we are raised up spiritually. We are given spiritual life in Christ. And when we die, we're going to go to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And we're going to be seated with him. And he tells us why he did it in verse 7. That in the ages to come, from ages to ages in this world, then when this is over, eternity throughout eternity, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. You know, we who believe, there's nothing greater than grace, is there? But we haven't even began to understand grace until we're there. We have an understanding now. But like Paul said, you know, we see through a glass darkly. And our understanding is that way also. You know, we understand in part. And that's why we preach in part. You know, there's a whole lot more here than I'm not even going to scratch the surface this morning. I'm telling you, I won't scratch the surface as long as I live. And stand here and preach. I mean, we are going to, you talk about amazing grace, we sing it now, but someday we're going to really sing amazing grace. We are going to understand, but listen, throughout the ages, we are going to constantly understand and grow and come to more knowledge of the amazing grace of God. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. In his kindness. Oh, how kind God is to us. In his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. God saves, but he uses means. He's a God of means. And the means here is faith. And that not of yourselves. What's he talking about there? That's not of yourselves. Well, he could be saying that faith is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. But what he's saying here, this salvation that he's speaking of, this salvation, this being made alive, this being raised in Christ, is not of you. The whole process of it from beginning to end is all of the grace of God. It's all of grace. It's not of works. Lest any man should boast. But now, I never really thought about this. I mean, it just didn't really hit me until I was studying this week. It's not of works. There's some Jews reading this. There's some Jews in that crowd reading this who had been under the law and God had saved them. And they were struggling. They were struggling to let that law go. You know, you just like the way we were raised. A lot of times it's hard to let those things go, isn't it? You know, if you're raised under religion, under a false religion, sometimes it takes a while to let things go. And here it says, not of works. You see, Paul's writing to Jews, and you'll see this, if I have time here, you'll see this here in a little bit. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. They said, we be not sinners. We're not sinners. We keep the law. We obey the law. That rich man, that young rich man said, all these have I kept from my youth up. No, it's not of works. Lest anybody should boast. For we are his workmanship. Are you a believer? Do you believe this morning? You are the workmanship of God. You're the handiwork of God from start to finish. We are his workmanship. And oh, what workmanship. What workmanship? Only God can take a wretch like me and you and make us believers and turn us into men and women who love God, who want to know Him, who seek after Him, who want to walk a godly life. I want to walk in godliness. You want to walk in godliness? That's the workmanship of God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We don't walk according to the course of this world anymore. We don't do that. I'm not saying we don't sin, but that's not the tenor of our life. The tenor of our life is after godliness. The tenor of our life is to know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. That's the tenor of our life. And we walk in a sphere of good works. Godliness, moral behavior, which God hath before ordained, He prepared. He prepared this all before creation, that you and I should be conformed to the image of Christ and walk even as He walked. How did He walk? Well, He walked by faith. He did that as a man. I mean, He walked in obedience. And you know that obedience? He wanted to. He wanted to. Those Jews didn't want to obey the law. They did it because of the rewards they thought they were going to get from it. But they didn't want it. Because the Lord said to those Pharisees, you bind burdens on men too heavy to be borne, and you only take one finger and help lift it. That's because you don't want it. He's like, I ain't doing that. You're going to do it, but I ain't doing that. No, we are His workmanship. Isn't that something? You think God will ever let His workmanship fail? I had a man that worked for me years ago in the machine shop. And you could take the parts that he did, and you could take the parts of everybody else in that shop. Everybody else. You could take their parts, and you could lay them all side by side. And I could tell you which one was that man's parts. It was deburred. It was shiny. It was right on. I mean, he was meticulous. Everybody else was like, well, it works. It works. God is meticulous. He's going to conform you to Christ. You're going to be like Him. God's going to populate heaven with a people just like His Son. Holy. Righteous. Meek, lowly, kind, gentle. Can you imagine? You can't even imagine how we're going to treat each other there. I mean, we treat each other, compared to that, we treat each other all right, but better than we used to. But my there, it's going to be perfect kindness, perfect love. Glad to see you. Really glad to see you. Oh, we're His workmanship. Oh, what workmanship. But now remember this, lest you forget it, because, you know, we have short-term memories. Remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now, he's talking here about, this is not just a nationality thing, but this is, you were heathens. You were just a bunch of heathens. And that was us. That was us by nature. That's us. That's our ancestry. He talked here about our ancestry. Let's read this. Let's read this with some interest. This is our ancestry. Remember this, that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Those who just had the outward sign, they called you the uncircumcision. They called you dogs. This was their attitude towards you. There's been no people on this earth that despised each other more than the Gentiles and the Jews. There was a real animosity there. That's why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. That's why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to see God have mercy on them. There was so much hatred and friction between them. He didn't want to see that happen. He said, I knew you'd have mercy on him. Isn't that what he said, basically? Paraphrasing. He didn't want to see that. I knew you were a merciful God. He wanted to sit out there on that hill and watch it burn. But now this enmity that was between the Jew and the Gentile, Jesus Christ broke it down. The enmity that's between anyone, I don't care what nationality they're from, when they believe the gospel, that wall comes down. It comes down because in Christ we are one. Watch this. Wherefore remember, you've been in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, you're called to uncircumcision by that which you're called to circumcision, that at that time you were without Christ, and you were without Christ. They were in darkness. Our ancestry was in darkness. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were aliens from salvation. And here I believe he's speaking of the true Israel of God. And you're strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I'm glad I wasn't born then. I'm glad I'm born in this day when the gospel's preached throughout the world to Jews and Gentiles. Because there was a time it wasn't. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, you're made nigh. You're brought into the family. Your family. You've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. How powerful is that blood that breaks down all these walls and things that kept us apart. For he is our peace. This is more than saying that he made peace for us. He himself is our peace. My peace sits at God's right hand. My peace is a person. My peace is a person. Jesus Christ. He's our peace. Our peace. Who's our? Jew and Gentile. Who hath made both one. He made us one in him. And he has broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us. What's that middle wall of partition? The law. He fulfilled the law and he made it inoperative. That law that separated the Jews and the Gentiles. They weren't to marry the Gentiles. They were not to do that. They were not to have anything to do with them. But that law, the law and the ceremonies and all those that was given to, it was given to Israel, wasn't given to the Gentiles. And he says he's removed that wall that kept us apart. He's broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that which separated us, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. You and I, and it doesn't matter who it is, or where they're from. You and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we not one in Christ? We have the same spirit. We have the same Father. Same faith. Same hope. Same love. We're one. We are one in Christ. In verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, through the cross or by the cross, he might reconcile both. You know, it's like they're shooting at each other. You know, the only thing that's going to bring two people together and make peace is the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ himself. Other than that, whatever peace there might be, they might sign a peace treaty. They might quit shooting at each other for about a day or two, but they're going to go back shooting at each other. It's going to happen because of that enmity that's there. But my soul, if you and I meet together in Jesus Christ, we're going to love each other forever and ever and ever. And that love is just going to grow. It's just going to grow. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. He preached the same gospel. Our Lord preached the same gospel in Samaria that he preached in the temple there in Jerusalem. He never changed the message. The message is the same. You know where the change has to come? With us. He has to change us. Us. He doesn't change. He's the same. He changes not. Jesus Christ the same. And his message doesn't change. And he came and he preached the gospel to us. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In this verse he's teaching us the Trinity. Through Jesus Christ we have access by the Holy Spirit unto the Father. We, Jew and Gentile. That's what this section here is about, because there's Jews sitting in that congregation. And there's some of them, no doubt, as we read through the New Testament, they struggled with it. And he's saying here that you all are one. That Christ fulfilled the law and it's inoperative now. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners. Your fellow citizens. Your fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. Your fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And this is interesting because the message of the apostles is the same message of the prophets. See? See how he connected those together? You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Those who look back at the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, he's saying that the apostles have the same message. It's the same foundation. They're not laying a different foundation. It's not different. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together. You know, God is putting together the church, the body of Christ. He's putting together the body of Jesus Christ fitly. He puts the windows where the windows belong, and the door where the doors belong, and all those things it takes to build a house. They are in the right place. They're in the right place. And God is building it, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God inhabits you. God's going to live in us, dwell in us, walk in us, as he does now. Except it's going to be without sin. It's going to be in an atmosphere that's nothing but holy, and where you and I can grasp without sin what he's teaching us. We can grasp something greater than we can now. God himself. God himself. But he's made us both one in Christ. We who were dead in trespasses and sins. And I like the way he says that. And you. He's not saying just you Gentiles. Even though he's speaking to the Gentiles there at Ephesus. But you Jews also. You Jews also. This is the way you were. You know, they lived under the ceremonies and self-righteousness, and we lived in heathenism and superstition. Both were lost. Both lost. Both need saved. We both do. This is what you were, and now this is who you are. All right.